Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Racing Lanes with your hosts Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Racing Lanes podcast. I'm your host Rico Muhammad. We'll be joined shortly by my co-host Chuck Snow, and we have a special guest this evening joining us to help bring some information to you guys about the assistance that is being offered through the government, the PPP loans or the Payment Protection Program loans that are being offered through as a part of the stimulus package. So I'm hoping that you guys have pens and papers. If not, these shows are always recorded, so you can always go back and listen. If you happen to miss something or if you're driving right now and you can't write it down, just remember that the shows are always recorded. You can go back and listen and get whatever information that you may need in order to get the information that you missed and that you want to get active on. I'm going to start the program off tonight as we normally do really quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I'm going to kind of breeze through the trend lines from DAT. We have diesel fuel prices are continuing to decline. It changed from last week, dropped by 2.7%. Now the national average price of diesel fuel is sitting at $2.59 per gallon nationally is the average diesel fuel price. Van rates fell last week following a sharp decline in the load-to-truck ratios. Customers stayed home, making it less urgent to restock grocery store shelves. At the same time, businesses deemed non-essential slowed or stopped freight shipment, reducing demand. So, of course, as you know, with the pandemic taking place with the COVID-19, they suspended the hours of service to try to help make things a lot easier to get stuff, to get the products to the distribution center, to the stores. But now with most states being under stay-at-home orders, like the report was saying, things are starting to slow down quite a bit. I deliver to grocery warehouse. That's my primary place that I deliver to. And when I spoke with the people there telling me that their main which is the main distribution warehouse for that particular grocery chain, and they were telling me that they were about at 40% capacity. They still had 60% capacity still to fill to get the distribution back filled. And they were telling me that the stores were still looking really bad. It's just a real anecdotal, real-world experience that I'll share on my end. I'm not sure what you guys are experiencing or what you people that you've been talking to. But we'll take a deeper dive and see how the rates were for the equipment types, and then we'll get right on to the business at hand. So for the average rate for dry vans last week across the country are as follows. If we can get my technology to cooperate with us, we'll get that information. Here we go. Okay, so we have starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have an average outbound spot market rate of $1.70 per mile for dry vans. Moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern region, we have outbound spot market rates averaging at $1.91 per mile. We have in the Midwest, we have average outbound spot market rates for dry vans at $2.12. Dropping down to the south central portion of the United States, we're showing outbound spot market rates for dry vans at $1.82. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing average outbound spot market rates at $1.71. Moving over to the flatbed segment type, last week we're showing that outbound spot market rates out of the Northeast were at $2.09 per mile for flatbeds. Coming out of the Mid-Atlantic and Southeastern region, we show outbound spot market rates at $2.33. Moving up to the Midwest, we're showing outbound spot market rates at $2.38. coming out of the south central portion of the United States, average outbound spot market rates were at 212, and coming out of the west coast, we're showing outbound spot market rates for flatbeds at 186. Jumping over to the temperature control portion of the report, coming out of the northeast, we're showing average outbound spot market rates at 193. Coming out of the mid-Atlantic and southeast, we show outbound spot market rates at 204. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing average outbound rates at 257 for reefers. Moving down into the south central, we're showing outbound spot market rates averaging at 226. And coming out of the west coast, we're showing outbound spot market reefer rates at 213. Let me go ahead and grab my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. Chuck, good evening. How are you?
We're doing well, Rico. How are you doing?
Doing great, doing great. Looking forward to tonight's show. And with that being said, and I forgot to ask him the proper pronunciation, but we're going to welcome Mike. Mike, you have to correct me if I butcher this one. Mike Hosted, VP of ATBS. Mike, good evening. How are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah, you're close enough on the pronunciation, so we can just go with it.
Well, I definitely want to thank you for taking time to come on and join us and to share some information with us tonight. And I guess I'll let you give everyone maybe a brief overview of yourself and tell us a little bit about ATBS and what you guys do.
Sure. So, yeah, I work with quite a few fleets around the country, to partner with ATBS to help independent contractor truck drivers. And so our business is American Truck Business Services, ATBS. And what we do is we help with all the back office necessities for contractors. We help them with their bookkeeping, their taxes. We do P&Ls for them and benchmark independent contractor truck drivers to show them how they're doing. And really the whole goal is to give them the lowest taxation they can, while keeping their books and keeping them, in line with the IRS, but also looking at their numbers and making sure they're making good business decisions and things of that sort. So, really we're just a one-stop shop back office for independent contractors, and we can help with back tax issues and, incorporations and things like that. So we can pretty much do anything out there for the small business truck driver.
Great, great. So, Mike, the number one thing that we definitely wanted to try for you to come on and help us with tonight is to help us navigate through the payment protection program through the SBA and the loan application and everything. We definitely want to try to help our listeners and people that are tuning in try to get their share of the pie. And how important is it that, first of all, to make sure that make sure that you're applying properly and how do they go about applying?
Yeah, definitely. So let's just start off by saying there are a couple of different programs out there. The one you mentioned, the Payment Protection Program, noted PPP, that is probably the most advantageous for a truck driver. It's the easiest to apply for. It does not require any sort of credit check or underwriting, that goes into too much detail. So it's much easier to apply for, and the form is generally pretty easy to fill out. That's the one we recommend all of our clients go to, and we're filling out applications like crazy. We've got a couple thousand in line right now that we're working through. There's also the Economic Injury Disaster Loan out there. Now, that one's been around a while, but it's really popped up lately. That one does require quite a bit more paperwork, and it's not as much push-through money. So the big thing about this payment protection program is it gives you 8 weeks of salary for free if you do it correctly. And so how it works is it starts out as a loan through an SBA-approved bank, and you have to get certain paperwork around to qualify for this loan. And so there's really five things that you need to get this loan. And these are five very important things. So first thing is you have to certify that the current economic uncertainty makes this loan necessary for ongoing operations. And I think about anybody in the whole country could go ahead and certify that this economic uncertainty is making, life more difficult, and it's going to continue to do so and probably get worse, especially for us truck drivers. So that's the first thing. You just got to certify it. You then need your 2018 or 2019 tax return completed with a Schedule C. So you have to have one of those 2 years completed. If you don't have that completed, that should be your number one priority, is getting caught up on your taxes. Okay?
Mike, I have a quick question. I want to interrupt you just for a second.
Sure.
If I can, and I don't want to throw you too far off, but I know that a prevalent thing, especially with owner-operators, sometimes you have people that they may have paid, they may have filed, but say, for instance, they still owe taxes. How does this, what kind of, does that put them in a certain conundrum when it comes to dealing with this situation, or no?
My understanding is that this does not, back taxes do not impact this stimulus. So if you owe taxes, for example, I know on the economic impact payment, that's the one where individuals get $1,200, married filing joint gets $2,400, and then any dependents you get an additional $500 per dependent. I know that that is not impacted by owing back taxes or anything like that, and I believe this loan is falls into the same category. So do not let your owing the IRS scare you from applying for this loan, because it's really a gift. It's an economic gift to stimulate the economy and keep things moving.
Great. Okay, so I'm glad we got that out of the way. So I'm going to shut up now and let you get back to the particulars.
No problem, and feel free to jump in at any point. There's a lot of questions and a lot of information. So as I said, you have to certify your economic uncertainty. And again, I think we can all do that. Maybe it hasn't hit some of us as truck drivers yet, but it's going to at some point. You have to have your 2018 or 2019 tax return. Again, make that your top priority. If you don't have one of those filed, get it filed as soon as you can. And that's something that we can help with. If you go to atbs.com, you can fill in information and we can help you with that. You also need your employee ID number or Social Security number. And then if you have an LLC or a corporation or something like that, you will need the articles certifying that you are a corporation or the LLC. And then the next thing you need is you need any kind of payroll records for 2019. So that could be, P&Ls for the year. You've got monthly profit and loss statements that you fill out. I know we do that for all our clients. Or if you do payroll for your corporation, you do have to certify and claim those documents along with the loan application. So you need a tax return. You need your employee ID number or Social Security number. You need financial statements from 2019 and any here in 2020 if possible. And really the tax return and the financial statements, that's to prove to them how much money you should be applying for with this loan. And then the last thing you then need is just a photocopy of your CDL or any kind of photo ID, passport, whatever it may be. So that's it. You do that. You acquire those documents. You fill out the loan application form, which is just a few pages. And that's something that if you don't know how to do it, get help. ATBS can do it for you. We do it for free for our clients. We have a small charge that we do for those that aren't our clients, and I mean it's very small, very worth your time. So make sure you get it done right, because the essence of this payment protection loan is that it's for 8 weeks, as I said, of payroll for yourself. It must be used on payroll, and essentially what happens is you go to the bank, you turn in all this paperwork with the application, they then submit your loan to the Small Business Administration, and within about 3 days, you're then going to get your money from this loan. Now, this loan, as I said, it can be for more than 8 weeks, but the essence is this loan is you really want to do it for 8 weeks, because 8 weeks is the forgiveness period. So that means you can pay yourself for 8 weeks. You have to document that 8 weeks and show that you paid yourself. And then once you do that, the loan then turns into a grant, meaning that you do not have to pay any of it back. It's tax-free and it's interest-free. So again, it turns from a loan into a grant where it's essentially free money to run your business for 8 weeks.
So it's pretty generous.
That's great. And I think that and this is one of the reasons why I definitely last week when we were having a conversation, and I wanted to make sure that we tried to get someone on the show tonight to kind of help break this down for us, because I think too often I think that because most owner operators, most contractors, we're not the savviest bunch that is out there. And a lot of times we miss out on opportunities to make things a lot better for us, make things easier and better for ourselves, because we don't necessarily have departments or the sophistication of other larger entities to maybe educate us or to make us aware of the things that are out there that are available at our disposal. And we go just trying to wing it and putting the thing on our own. And like we were talking earlier, I feel very confident and comfortable that this is something that we have not experienced. We in my lifetime or anybody else, I don't think that this is something that's totally different that we have not seen, and we're not sure what kind of implications that this thing is going to bring down the pipeline. But we want to be able to make sure that as many people as possible have available information to be able to continue to try be able to adjust with the changing winds that are coming down the pike. So once again, I definitely appreciate you for coming on and educating us with this. Chuck, you got anything that you want to say? And before I do that, for our listeners that are listening, you can join the conversation as well just by pressing the number one. That puts you in the queue. If you want to join in on the conversation and ask a question, just press the number one so we can see you and get you up and on board.
And let me add something to what you just said there, Rico. It is difficult, and truckers do have a tough time discerning information from this. This is, you know, a $2 trillion economic stimulus package. And of that $2 trillion, $350 billion has been allocated for small businesses. And so one thing I encourage you guys and all your listeners to go do is go to our website, atbs.com, and you can download our ebook. We took the 880-page stimulus legislation, and we got it down to 13 pages as it pertains to independent contractor truck drivers. So we took all that information, and we made it digestible for how it impacts us as truck drivers. And it's you know, really great. It's free. You just go to our website, download the ebook, and there's examples on there. There's frequently asked questions. It's just really, really great information that's making its way around, and it really does just help filter out information, questions, things like that. With it, it can also guide you to our website and prompt a call from us if you do need assistance.
Mike, I've got a question to throw at you. Where are lines drawn here between, let's say, a lease operator that owns his own truck and he's on leased on with Landstar or one of the other big, even Schneider or J.B. Hunt, because they all use lease operators, and somebody that has gotten a truck on what Rico and I refer to as the never plan, and they buys a truck from one of these companies, and it's a truck with a job, and he takes over a lease on one of these trucks. Where do they stand with this as compared to being an actual small trucking company that has his own authority and his own insurance and one or two trucks? Is there any distinction made here?
There really isn't. This is really a small business loan, which turns into a grant for any business with less than 500 employees. So that means every independent contract truck driver qualifies for this loan. One other thing I'll add to that is some of us may have not seen economic hardship yet. You know, freight has boom the last couple of weeks, and it'll continue to do so and reefer for a little while, but we're all going to get hit eventually. And so what I'm telling people to do, and what we've been telling everybody to do, is while there's freight still out there, keep working, keep making money while you can. You can keep working and still get this loan. You don't have to have hardship yet to get this loan. You're going to see it eventually. So keep working, keep moving, keep making the money you can, but get this in addition to it, put it away. And when the days do get rainier, then you have this money already, and you're not scrambling to figure it out later.
I think that's the best advice that our listeners can hear right now, because there seems to be a tendency among certain people. They've had a good week. They've run 3,000 miles. They've made some money, and they're gonna take it easy on the weekend. This is not the time to take it easy. If you've got people knocking at your door offering you freight, darn it, you better take that freight, because I have lived through some tough times. Nothing exactly like this. My mother's 93 years old, and she hasn't lived through this up until now. So this is a whole brand new world we're living in with a pandemic. So we don't know where it's going to take us. Let's be honest. There's a chance that things could really slow down, because the people that that work in these food plants, there's a chance that they're not going to be able to show up for work because they're sick. You know, that's a real, that is a likelihood. Then there'll be less freight.
Definitely. So one quick reference example, just for the listeners out there, the general rule of thumb for this loan, which again turns into a grant, but it's very important that you keep your paperwork and your documentation around after you receive it to make sure it turns into a grant. But the general rule of thumb is that you will get about 20% of your previous net income from the previous tax return and payroll statements. You'll get about 20% of that net income. So if you make $50,000 last year, that means you're generally going to get about $10,000 given to you to keep your business running. If you made $100,000 last year, you're probably going to get about $20,000 to keep your business running. That does cap out right below $21,000. But that, again, this is a grant. This is free money, but you got to keep your paperwork around. My suggestion is when you do get this money, put it into your bank account, put it in your business account, and then for the first 8 weeks, just make a distribution to your personal business account. That distribution then shows that you used it for payroll, but you do have to use it within that 8 weeks in order for it to be forgiven.
Ah, okay. So you make your payments out of it and do your...
Yep, that you use it as payroll. And again, it doesn't matter if you still have your regular payroll coming in, use it as payroll, set it aside for later, and have it for that rainy day.
Okay, Mike, I got another question here. What happens in the case where we have a fairly new owner operator that's gone out in the last 8 months and bought himself a truck, and he's out there working, and he was a company driver doing something else last year? Where does he stand with this?
He's still eligible. I believe that as long as you are in this date could be a little bit off, but I believe as long as you're an owner operator before February 15th of 2020, you are still eligible for this loan. And so really in that scenario, you just want to show what you can, and banks will help guide you through it. But you really want to show what you can. You'll still have to turn in previous tax returns, but they're going to rely more heavily on your payroll statements and your P&Ls to determine that loan amount. And so as I'm talking through this, I thought of one very, very important thing for everybody out there that needs to be discussed, and that's the availability of this money. So we chatted about this briefly before the show started, guys, but there is $350 billion out there, but it's going really fast right now. So it's of the utmost importance that you get on this right away. I hear all the time that they say they're going to refill this fund if it depletes. But we don't know that. So make sure you get your share of the pie right away. You don't want to be left out in the dark, if you don't have everything around or hesitate on this. So something to jump on right away. And then the other thing is banks are absolutely swamped right now. So finding a certified bank, an SBA-approved bank, is probably the most difficult thing to do right now. So for you listeners out there, whoever you've been banking with, you need to get on the phone with them as soon as you can and figure out their availability to do this loan. If they won't do it, you need to try to talk to local credit unions and smaller branches of banks to find that opportunity for someone to process this loan, because, without the bank, you can't get the money. So it's very important that you line up a bank that'll do it for you. We have some connections through ATBS, but we've far past, maximized them out. We have a great bank out of Utah, Continental Bank, that's doing thousands of these for us, but there's only so many they can do, and their capacity is limited. They're working 90 hours a week processing this stuff. So banks are stay at home, work from home, and they don't have the capacity they normally do. And a kind of interesting fact is that over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, there were more SBA loans applied for than all of 2019 combined.
Wow. Gee. How can the banks even process all this?
That's right. The early bird gets the worm.
It sounds like the bank's not even going to be able to put, even if the money's there, how is the bank possibly going to be able to process all of these, all of these loans?
Yeah, that's the difficult part, and that's why the bigger banks, for example, they're filtering out the smaller loans. So they're taking the companies with 500 employees and processing their $10 million loan. You know, our clients and our listeners, they get put to the back of the line, and who knows when they'll get processed. So that's why I said it's so important to go line up a bank. Local credit unions and things like that haven't been as overwhelmed yet, and so they're probably the most likely to get it done for us smaller businesses.
And just to reiterate get a distinction, this is on top of or in addition to the $1,200 that everyone that has filed to be able to get this in conjunction with that. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yep. That's the economic impact payment. That's automatic. If you filed your 2018 or 2019 taxes, that's going to be automatic to you as long as you're within the qualifying parameters. So my understanding is that those checks will start to go out here about 2 weeks from today. So if you have filed 2018 or 2019 and you're within the income requirements, those checks are going to start going out in a couple weeks, and that'll be automatic regardless of anything else you do.
Great. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you got any questions, if you got a question that you would like to ask, don't be bashful. There's no such thing as a stupid question. You can press the number one. We'll get you involved in the conversation. We definitely benefit from group thought, because you may have a question that we may not have thought about as of yet, and you can assist us all by asking your question. So don't be afraid. Don't be shy. We got a lot of people on the line tonight, and we always welcome your interaction within the show. So I guess kind of going back again, what are some other things that you guys, some other, by you taking time out and joining us tonight, Mike, I definitely want to give you some time to maybe talk about some other businesses and services that you guys offer at ATBS for everybody that's listening in that may need, that may be able to make uses of your services.
Yeah, absolutely. Our real goal is to help small business, independent contractor, truck drivers. We're here to take the burden off of them so they can spend their time doing what they need to, and that's driving to earn revenue, and then using their time when they're not driving to earn revenue to spend with their family and do things like that, so they're not covered in paperwork, calculating receipts and things like that. So everybody that works with us gets their own business consultant. They have one person that they work with throughout the whole tenure at our company. And so that one person, develops a relationship with you. First thing they do is they help you set up a budget, a really good detailed operating budget that shows you your fixed costs, how much you need to be setting aside per day. It shows you your variable costs. And then we even calculate your home bills into this too. And our whole goal is to say, here's your break-even point. How many miles do you need to run a week, or how much revenue do you need to earn each week in order to pay all your trucking costs and your home bills at the same time? So we do that. We then do monthly P&Ls. You send us your settlement statements and receipts. We've got a relationship with almost every major trucking company in the country. So if you're pulling for a fleet, they'll probably send us your settlements automatically. You just take pictures or scan your receipts or send them in the mail, however you want to do it, and we'll pump out a monthly profit and loss statement that really shows how you're doing. So we did this budget. Here's how it's supposed to look. Now we have a monthly statement that looks just like it and says how we're actually doing. And so our goal is to look at that each month and say, here's maybe where we can tweak it, earn more revenue, or cut our costs or something like that. So we're really just, looking at it monthly, talking to you about your business in order to really see where we can hone in and take home more money, because that's the whole goal, right? We also help pay taxes quarterly, so you can get your taxes paid throughout the year. That way, when you file in the spring, you you're already caught up. You don't have to send off a big check, and then we file your taxes for you. So end of the year, if you're married, if you've got kids, if you've got a rental property, a farm, you name it, it's all included in our service, and we take care of all that at the end. Again, as I mentioned kind of earlier, we can help with back tax issues. If you need tax resolution, we're really good at helping get tax bills lowered. A lot of people are scared of that tax resolution process, but once you get started, it's a huge weight off your shoulders. We can incorporate you. We can get you on a payroll. We can run your payroll if you have, you know, a couple of drivers or a small fleet. So we can do about anything to help a small business run, you know, in this environment. But most importantly, you know, we're looking out for your, you know, impact and how we can make you more money, because without you as a truck driver client, we don't exist. So our goal is to help the driver make as much money as possible, pay as little taxes as possible so that their life is easier and they're taking home as much money as they can and stay with us.
Mike, for your small fleets that have, let's say, 5 or 10 trucks, I guess it'd be larger fleets, are you able to provide audited statements to make it easier for them to go out and get traditional financing for, like, even for their accounts receivable, but using a bank rather than a factoring company or buying new equipment? Do you do that as well?
We do. Yep. That's for our, it's called our enterprise service, and that's for our small fleets where we do double entry accounting, bank state. We look at bank statements. We do balance sheets and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, for our smaller fleet individuals, you know, we do have a service that's set up just for that. And again, we can process their payroll if they need help with that. But yeah, we can really help. And we go up to about 10 trucks. Any bigger than 10 trucks, and it's probably a little bit out of our scale. But if you do need help, right, you can still call us and we can get you somebody that can help you.
You know what? It sounds like any of the people that have been using you, whether they have one truck or 10 trucks, they're going to be first place to get that funding because you've got all their material, you know, you've got all their information ready to go.
That's right.
It's a huge
yep.
thing that, you know, this is a slam dunk. You know, it's almost idiot proof. What a great concept. It really makes things simplified.
Yep, absolutely. And not only that, but they're going to still be with us, so we'll be able to show proof to the banks of how money was used and things of that nature. So, yeah, we have everything they need, and essentially all they have to do is send us a photocopy of their CDL or driver's license or whatever and sign the form that we fill out for them and then get it to a bank. We'll have the whole package bundled up for them and ready to go, and we do it for free for all of our clients.
Now, do you have any relationships for our listeners anywhere? Like you talked about a banking relationship in Utah, but I know we have listeners that are closer to the East Coast, anywhere from Florida all the way up to Maine. Do you have any relationships with anybody on that coast if anybody's having a problem?
We don't right now. And again, the thing I'll stress is whoever you've been banking with, go to them right away. They're your best asset. You know, you're already a customer, and so they're going to take care of you before they take care of anybody outside. I do know that we've had clients tell us, for example, that Chase Bank said that they would be processing these loans for their small businesses. Again, I don't know the timing for that in the smaller loans, but, I have my father, for example, he's a small farm in Indiana, and he went to his local bank, and he was able to get his process pretty quickly there at the local bank. And you know, it's a small community, and people look out for each other. So if you've got a relationship, that's where you need to start. But unfortunately, banks are tough to get a hold of right now to form more relationships.
Well, I think one of the big – and I've said this before on this show, and I've said it in some of my lectures, and people don't tend to listen to us until something like this. But now is a good time to take note. It's really important to have some sort of a relationship with a bank. And I realize that a lot of our listeners use factoring companies, and that's fine if it works for you. But you still, at the end of the day, need to have a relationship with a bank and work at getting a line of credit of some sort with the bank and let them know who you are. And Rico's talked about this, you know, 100 times before on the show, as have I. And people don't listen. They'll use a bank just to have a you know, have a current account and, as we call it up in Canada, a checking account, and deposit their money and write checks on, and that's it. But I think you need to have that relationship with the bank so that when you walk in, they go, that's Joe Palmer, the trucker down the road, you know, and they got to know who you are. It's very important, and this proves it. You know, we all need banks if you're in business.
Yep, definitely. I mean, we tell our clients.
I'm sorry. I'm go ahead and finish that point, Mike. We got someone that wants to get in and ask a question. Go ahead. You go ahead and finish that point.
Sure. We tell all of our clients, you know, generally when you start a business, you should absolutely have a business banking account and a personal banking account. Try not to intermingle funds. Use your business account for your business account. Pay yourself out of your business account and things of that nature. But you can get business and personal accounts for free at almost any bank out there. And so it's really just about taking the time and effort to do it. And if you have the two, you know, side by side, it makes credit, like you said, credit applications and times like this, it just makes life so much easier.
Remember, no one built the ark before it started to ring.
Absolutely. So we got a caller calling in from area code 912. You are up live and on the show. What's your name and how can we help?
Yeah, this is Steve from Georgia, and I appreciate you guys taking my call. And I wanted to ask Mike, I bank with one of the biggest banks in the nation, starts with a B and then with an A. And whenever I put all of that in, I just get a random email saying we'll get with you, you know, just as soon as possible, in which I understand that they are backed up. And I was kind of thinking that because of that, I may have to go to an alternative source, you know, to get this process. And my only relations is with this bank. So how would you approach that? How would you give me advice to approach that situation?
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, and that's a really good question. The thing I would tell you to do is go to your local area and find a smaller bank, you know, one that's maybe not as nationwide or even just a local credit union. They are not going to be as overwhelmed, but they also are going to use this as an opportunity to have you as a long-term client. So they're going to be more prompt and more likely to help you because they want the opportunity for your future banking services. So what I would do if I were you is just start calling the local banks from where you're from and, you know, see what they'll do, see what their availability is, and see how quickly they think they can get this done for you and what it means to them and to you, and see how it can be mutually beneficial for both of you.
Okay. I guess I go that route, but as you know, as the last resort or anything like that, I could definitely come to you guys, ATBS, to get it done also, right?
Well, we have limited banking capacity too, so we've got a couple relationships. We can't guarantee that we can get you to a bank, so try by all means the best you can to do it yourself. If you run out of resources and really need help, give us a call, and we'll do the best we can to get you lined up. But like I said, we've got a lot of people in line already. And you know, our banking resources are pretty much used up, but we're happy to help you fill out the form and get everything all bundled up to get it to your bank. We're certainly happy to do that, but try to get your own bank if you can, because our resources are very limited and we got a lot of people trying to get the same ones. So I wish we could help more people, but we're trying our best. And again, if you run out of resources, definitely give us a call. We'll do what we can to steer you in the right direction, because we're talking to drivers by the thousands every day, and we're hearing new stuff from them on who's helping and who's not. And so, you know, every day it changes for us on the news we hear and who's helping and who's not, things like that. So just keep trying, and if you can't get it done yourself, give us a call, and we'll give you the most current information we can.
Okay, I do appreciate it. I know I call one of my local credit unions. Well, not credit union, but one of my local banks. And, you know, their response to me was that, you know, you got to already have a business account set up with us before we'd be able to help you. And that's kind of the stuff that I'm running into. But I will keep looking, and I do appreciate you taking my call.
Definitely. And banks change their tone every day. So, you know, we're finding out new information. So just keep trying. Keep your head up. This is important. And stay on it because, as I said, the funds aren't going to be there forever. So just keep trying. Be perseverant. I mean, it's a lot of essentially free money that you really want to make sure you get your hands on. So
I do appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right, Steve. We appreciate the call.
Thanks, Chief.
So Mike, I got a follow-up.
Go ahead, Rico.
We talked before, and you may, and Mike, I understand I might be putting you on the spot with this question. So if you don't know the answer or not sure about it, I understand. But a lot of lenders previously were talking about all types of different programs or doing different types of moving payments for like people that may have payments on equipment and stuff, so on and so forth. Maybe moving those payments to the back of the loan or making different arrangements, forbearance agreements on loans and things of that nature. With all of this going on, what would you advise if someone was in that situation in light of the different opportunities that we have with the money and everything that's coming in from the stimulus packages, but should people still be trying to utilize as just a form of survival? Is that something that you might would recommend setting up different types of arrangements with those situations as well as a strategic strategy?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, anything you can do. I mean, I would get on the phone with anyone and everyone and see what kind of forgiveness you can get. Can you defer payments? You know, can you move things back? Work with your insurance company. If you stop moving and you're not driving for a while, can you cancel your insurance and get back on it? You know, you really just need to be talking and look. Really, what you need to do is you need to look at your fixed costs, your truck payments, your insurances, and things like that. And you need to start making phone calls and working with those companies to you know see what can be done in order to help in this economic hardship. You know, the worst case scenario is they tell you nothing can be done, but at least you've given it a shot. And if you can get some of your fixed costs deferred or even waived, I mean, any amount of time on the phone is worth it to save your business and make sure you still have your asset. You know, when this is over, there's going to be freight to move and companies are going to be looking for you. And I think things are going to get, you know, the second quarter is probably going to be pretty tough, but the third and fourth quarter, if we get through this, there's going to be people looking for independent contractors to haul freight at
100%. Yeah. I want to just add to that. I think that the key word here for our listeners is conserve cash. You've got to conserve cash as best you can, because we don't know how long we're into this for. This could be over quickly. You know, if you listen to the news, you know, it's all over the place. And I think that Mike's got a really good point. As soon as we're out of this thing, it's going to get busy, and I think you're going to see an awful lot of players drop out of the business. There's some larger players, and I'm not talking about the 5 and 10 truck operations. I'm talking about the people with 100 trucks that will not, you know, they were in trouble or they were shaky before this happened. And this will just shake them right out of the tree. So we're going to see an awful lot of that. And, you know, there'll be voluntary surrenders on equipment and everything else. So, you know, there's going to be opportunities out there. I think that what's happened in the last few years is as we all know, the business has gotten very, very competitive. And the only thing that has staved off the competition is the cost of truck insurance. And, you know, if anybody's got a little bit of a silver lining to this, it would be the insurance companies right now, because I understand that crashes are way down because there's not as many cars on the road. And that says a lot right there about who the good drivers are and who they're not. So that may give the insurance companies a little bit of a breather to start making some money again. And our rates can be lower in the next year or so. But I really think there's going to be some great opportunities ahead for those listeners that are going to stick this thing out.
Yep, I agree with you. I'm on the phone with fleets every day, from some of the biggest in the country to, you know, 10 trucks or anything like that. And, you know, I hear the same sentiment. There's going to be a lot of those medium-sized fleets, you know, 50, 100 truck area where, you know, they were already in bad shape. Their balance sheet was already tough. And that's going through really good times in trucking in 2018 and, you know, part of last year. So when they're already in trouble with the insurance rates, you know, looking to spike, you know, like you said, hopefully they don't with the crashes going down, but I still keep hearing they're going to spike. And a lot of people are expecting that. So with a bad balance sheet and no freight, those guys are going to go out of business. And so somebody has to absorb that capacity and run that freight. And, you know, those of us that are still available, I mean, it's going to be for a premium when things do pick back up. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. And it'll take a little bit of time until things ramp up. You know, factories have to get back to work. Raw materials have to get in. But at the end of the day, nothing moves without our trucks.
So a question again back to the loan package program that they're offering. If someone does it wrong, screws it up, and they don't utilize those funds, say they apply and they get approval, and they don't utilize the funds within the allotted time frame for it to be forgiven as a grant. What does that look like? Do you know the particulars on that? And before it turns into a grant, will you have to make payments on that, or how does that?
That's correct. If you do not do it correctly, it is then still considered a loan. So again, you can find all the details in our ebook at atbs.com. It's got all the different rates and things like that. The big thing I'll tell you though is, you know, this is not a time to take on debt. So you do not want to do this if you're not going to take it seriously and you're not going to follow through. Because taking on more debt right now is just suicide. So make sure you don't do that. But if you do fall into that period, the loan has 2 years of payment. It is an interest rate of 1%. So the interest rate is as low as possible. But really, I mean, just don't get yourself in that situation. If you do, it is a loan, and you have to make loan payments to that bank to pay it off.
Got you. And so definitely to get the ebook, to go and download the ebook, what's the address to go and make sure, just to reiterate, we're going to go over that real quickly, to get a hold of the ebook and the information that's contained in that.
Yep. So all you have to do is go to atbs.com. atbs.com. You just go there and it's right on our home screen. Really easy to download. It's a really, really, really helpful. Like I said, it breaks everything down. 880 pages of government legislation broken down into 13 pages with question and answers. It's got examples that show you, you know, here's what it might look like for me, and really just some definitions and how it all works. So atbs.com, right on the front there, there's a button. You just click download ebook. Within the ebook, if you need help from us, there are ways that you can, you know, prompt that. You can also, there's a contact us form right on our homepage as well. So if you need us to contact you, just fill that out. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. This is a really big deal. We've got really high call volumes, but we've got everybody chained to their home desk right now, making sure we get everybody taken care of. So
great. So, and just as a strategic standpoint as well, we were talking, we were saying earlier, making sure to try to take advantage of the stimulus check along with this, make sure that you follow the steps so that it can turn into a grant. But if, say, for instance, if someone does take this and grabs the money and they do already have debt, from a strategic standpoint, and Chuck, you and Mike both, this is a question for both of you guys. From a strategic standpoint, would that person be better right now during this time to just continue to make minimum payments on, if they have to continue making payments on any of the debt that they have to service those debts, just continue to make any of those minimum payments, or if they get enough money from the between the different programs that are offered to start eliminating or paying off debt completely what would be a viable strategy to utilize the funds coming in these times that we're facing?
If it was me, I'll answer this first because I've been there before years ago, and you've got to preserve cash. So it's nice to get rid of your debt, but sometimes you can't afford that luxury, especially now because we don't know how long this is going to last. So that's why pay everybody a little bit and don't take on any new debt and just try to keep going. You know, you may still be working, may not bring in the revenue that you did before. You know, if you're used to running 2,500 miles a week, maybe you're only going to run 1,200 miles a week. So your revenue is going to be cut in half. So just that's my take on it. What do you think, Mike?
I completely agree. I mean, you gotta have cash right now. We don't know, as you said, we don't know what's coming. We don't know how long this is going to last. So you gotta have cash. You know, you don't know how much forgiveness you're gonna get on truck payments and things like that. So, you know, if things really slow down and your revenue goes down, like Chuck said, you know, you gotta keep your truck payments going. You gotta keep your asset because when this is over, you need it. It's your lifeline. It's your you know, meal ticket. So conserve cash. That way you can, you know, make sure your business is still afloat when things are ready to go again.
Yeah, there's definitely
sounds
a time
good.
To pay
well,
off debt. And this may not be one of them right now.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, I'm looking at the time. Hours just blown by us. Once again, tell everyone again how they can get in contact with you guys at ATBS, website, emails, phone numbers, or whatever information that you want to give out. Let's let information let everybody know how they can do that. And anything else that you want to say with us while before we get out of here?
Sure. Yeah, so again, the best resource for you is to just go to atbs.com and, you know, contact us through there. On there, there's also a phone number. So for those of you that really need help fast, you know, here's a number. If you got a pen ready, you can call us at 888-640-4829. So again, 888-640-4829. We do have high call volumes, so I believe there's generally a prompt if everybody's on the line where you can, you know, wait in line and we'll call you right back. Again, you can also just do the contact form on our website and we'll call you as soon as we can. And that really has some more narrowing questions, and that'll make it easier for the right person to call you back. So the best way is definitely go through our website because it'll have more filtering questions where we'll make sure the correct person calls you because we've got about 150 employees that do different things, and we want to make sure we can get you to the correct one right away without going through five or six phone calls and, you know, frustrating you, making you wait on hold. It's best that, you know, you get on there, get yourself in line, and we'll get back to you really quickly. We're really working hard and trying to get all this money we can to owner-operators because we know how important everybody out there is to make sure we've got everything in our house and we're all eating. So thank you, everybody, for what you do.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. And once again, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your schedule and away from your family to come on with us, spend a little bit of time with us to educate us as to what all is going on and how to get the available assistance that some of us desperately need. The bat, my friend, tell everybody how they can get in contact with you and what you guys do over at Travis.
The best way to reach me these days, I'm working out of my home office. The easiest way to get me is on email. I'm on it all day. Just chuck@traffix.com. If you need anything, if you need any advice, if you need to get set up, if you're looking to work with us, get hold of me and I'll walk you through and I'll get you through to the right party. Or if you just need some information on how to navigate some tough times, I'll try to help you. You can also get me on Instagram. Send me a private message at Chuck Snow CEO. You can catch me there.
Good deal. So once again, everybody, jump on this first thing tomorrow morning. If you haven't already started the process, the early bird gets the worm. That's the number one takeaway is get the wheels of progress going immediately tomorrow. Or matter of fact, hey, if it's available, go check your bank's website, see if there's a way to go ahead and get the process started tonight. But get involved, figure out what it is that you got to do as far as the requirements. And we've already told you some of the requirements. Go to ATVS's website, download the ebook so that you can have that as a point of reference as well. But the number one thing is just get started. Get started immediately. Go ahead and get on the stick and get the process started so that you can get access to the assistance to make sure that you have the resources available to you to keep your business up, running, and viable so that you can try to make it through. Because like I've said since this thing has kind of started, nothing's going to be the same after this. So we want to make sure that you make it through the other side of this thing fully intact or in the best position that you can possibly be in. It's definitely everybody is getting tough all over. But, you know, as the old saying goes, tough times don't last, tough people do. So we want to, you know, make sure that we stay encouraging to you guys and give and making sure that we try to do what we can from a standpoint with this podcast to try to get you the most important viable information so that you can have the tools in your tool belt to take care of the business that needs to be taken care of. So with that being said, I think Hank is with us next week, Chuck. Is that correct? Or am
I hope
week
so.
Ahead?
No, I think you're right.
Okay, so next week, Hank Seaton, transportation attorney, will be joining us next week. So make sure that you're still doing your due diligence right now. Like we say, everybody's going experiencing economic tough times, so make sure if you're on the spot market and you're dealing with new and different brokers, make sure that you're doing your due diligence, vetting them properly so that you're not running into a situation of compounding effects where you're getting assistance. But at the same time, the assistant's not doing you a lot of good because on the backside, you're not getting paid for loads that you're hauling. So make sure you're doing your due diligence. Keep yourself safe on that end. We want to thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight, listening to the show. And with that being said, God bless you between the mustard and the mayonnaise. And we'll talk to you same time, same place, God willing, next week with Hank Seaton.
Thanks, and stay healthy. Catch you on the flip-flop.
Absolutely. Good night, everybody.
Good night. God bless.